Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I'm honored and pleased to be here sharing worship with you this morning from this corner of the building. Great to see everybody. Welcome to worship today. This past week, Jane was really helpful. She put together the bulletin early for me, for my benefit. And as always, this is kind of a fluid place. Lots of things are going on here. And so there's a couple of announcements I want to touch base on before we start. First of all, there isn't going to be a children's sermon today, and I don't see any children here anyway. So Josie had another commitment for the day. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but we have lost a couple of members of the church. Jerome Evenson passed away on July 7th, and his memorial is going to be at 11 o'clock here on Tuesday, with a visitation 1 hour prior to that. There will also be a visitation from 4 to 7 tomorrow night at Olson Funeral Home. And I just got word that Shari Larson passed away last night as well. And I'm sure that there haven't been any arrangements that have been made yet for that funeral. So just a heads up, kind of watch and see. And we'll try and remember everybody in the prayers today. Would you please rise as you're able for confession and forgiveness? Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, full of compassion and mercy, abounding in steadfast love.
Amen.
Trusting God's promise of forgiveness, let us confess our sin against God and one another. Eternal God, our Creator, in you we live and move and have our being. Look upon us, your children, the work of your hands. Forgive us all our offenses and clean us from proud thoughts and empty desires. By your grace, draw us near to you, our refuge and our strength. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit given to us. In the mercy of Almighty God, Christ died for us while we still were sinners, and for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. Our gathering song this morning is number 787, On Eagle's Wings. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Creator and ever-living God, we worship your glory, eternal three in one, and we praise your power, majestic one in three. Keep us steadfast in this faith, defend us in all adversity, and bring us at last into your presence, where you live in endless joy and love. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. While a wind from God swept over the face of the waters, then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky. And there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with its seed in it." And this was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with seed in it. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning the third day. And God said, "Let there be light in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night. And let them be signs for the seasons and for the days and years. And let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to light up the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth and across the dome of the sky." So God created the great sea monsters, and every living thing that moves of every kind in which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind, and God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth creatures, living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things, and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the wild things of the earth, and every other creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created the mankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and he said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed. This is upon the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in it. You shall have them for food, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird in the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life. I have given you every green plant for food," and it was so. God saw that everything he had made was indeed, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all were multitude. And on the seventh day God finished the work he had done, and he rested on the seventh day for all the work he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. Because on it God rested from all the work he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heaven and earth when they were created. The word of God. Psalm 8. O Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You whose glory is chanted above the heavens, out of the mouths of infants and children, you have set up a fortress against your enemies to silence the foe and avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, you have set in their courses. There are no mortals that you should be mindful of them, human beings that you should care for them. Yet you have made them little less than divine. With glory and honor you crowned them. You have made them rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet. All flocks and cattle, even the wild beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The second reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11 to 13. Paul writes, "Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all." The word of the Lord.
Please rise as you're able for the gospel acclamation. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 28. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome those who are joining us for worship this morning through our radio ministry, as well as those that listen to the recorded messages on our website. The grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you this day. Our gospel passage for today is called the Great Commission. It contains Jesus' final instructions to his church. Without these words, I wonder where we'd all be today. It's a pretty safe bet that we wouldn't be here worshiping as we are. Countless lives have been changed over the last two millennia, and countless souls have been saved because of Jesus' commission. In the gospel, Jesus sends his disciples forth to baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This Trinity expresses the heart of our faith. We have experienced the God of creation, made known in Jesus Christ, and with us always through the Holy Spirit. We celebrate the mystery of the Holy Trinity in word and sacrament as we profess the creed and as we are sent into the world to bear witness to our faith. Jesus' words were meant for the remaining 11 disciples, reminding us of Judas' departure, his absence, and of the betrayals in which the other 11 also participated. These words were also meant for Christians throughout all the ages, including you and me. We are called to celebrate God's presence in all its glory and colorful wonder, and to celebrate our belonging to this wonder-filled God. Let's give this passage some historical context. Jesus had just risen. The Jews who had killed him were also ready to do away with the disciples. The Roman Empire didn't like people that caused problems, and conversely, the Jewish community wanted to be free from Roman rule. The Romans just wanted this small, strange country called Israel to be peaceful. It was into this world that Jesus gave his difficult commission to the disciples. Jesus' arrest and crucifixion was a deeply troubling experience for his followers. The hopes and dreams they all shared were dashed in a matter of hours. They had just lost the one that they loved and admired. To hear that Jesus was alive after his death, which they naturally assumed had ended everything, was utterly astounding. Nothing in their Jewish faith prepared them for what was happening. Jesus told Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to go tell my brothers that they should go into Galilee, and there they will see me. At that time, women were not permitted to serve as witnesses in court, but Jesus chose them to bear witness to his resurrection. The normal custom was that men gave orders and women obeyed, but Jesus had these women order the men to go to Galilee. These men might have been tempted to doubt the women's testimony. Galilee was a long walk, and it was hard to believe that a dead man had come to life again. As the women carried out their orders, so also did the men. The disciples start out for Galilee. Jesus was born in the shadow of Jerusalem, but Joseph and Mary took him to Galilee after their return from Egypt. Jesus then grew up in that remote area, far from the temple. Galilee was also known as Galilee of the Gentiles because it was home to many Gentiles. Remember that Jesus' genealogy included Gentile women, Ruth and Rahab. So Jesus had his roots in a region that was far different than the more orthodox and less tolerant province of Judea and its capital, Jerusalem. Most of Jesus' ministries took place in Galilee, and he returns there after his resurrection to commission his disciples on a mountain that he designated. Mountains are often used in the Bible to designate a meeting with God. Important things happen on mountains. The Sermon on the Mount, the Last Temptation, Moses receiving the Ten Commandments, the Transfiguration, and so on. This was a meeting not behind closed doors, but out in the open. They were not hiding. They went where Jesus commanded them to go. And if you want to maintain communion with Christ, you have to go where He has appointed you to go. When the disciples encountered Jesus, some worshipped Him and some doubted. We really shouldn't be surprised at either reaction, worship or hesitation. It was certainly fitting that the disciples should worship Jesus. They knew that He was executed and buried. They knew that Good Friday appeared to be the end. But now they see Jesus alive again, confirming beyond doubt that He is the Messiah. They see with their own eyes that their teacher is the Lord of life, exercising power even over death. But we can also understand why some would doubt. Nothing they have experienced has prepared them for what they are seeing. It might be tempting to criticize the disciples for doubting, but we might not have done any better. Jesus doesn't rebuke them for doubting. He understands their doubt, but speaks to their faith. He calls on them to carry out His work. Jesus chose to do His work through the original, less than perfect disciples, so we can be confident that He can do the same through us. To God, our ability is less important than our availability. Our ability can even get in the way if it obscures God's role in our achievements. Jesus also accepted the worship of those who were there. He said in Matthew 4:10 that you are to worship God and serve Him only. Yet Jesus receives this worship. This is important because it means that Jesus is God. Jesus spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. This is a crucial statement because it means He has the authority to forgive sins, the authority to mediate with the Father, the authority to send the Holy Spirit, the authority to open the hearts and minds of His people, the authority to reveal the Father, and the authority to give eternal life to whom He chooses, and the authority to raise us up on the last day. The model for this authority statement is Daniel 7:14, which says, to Him was given dominion and glory and kingship that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve Him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away, and His kingship is one that shall never be destroyed. Jesus' authority spans heaven and earth, and there is no time or place where it does not apply. There are four alls in this text. Jesus has all authority given to Him. We are to make disciples of all nations. We are to teach that we should obey all that He commanded during His earthly life. And the promise that He closes with is that He will be with us always. On the subject of all authority, the incarnation and Jesus' life on earth were marked with profound humanness. There was a glimpse of His glory at the Transfiguration and in the ways in which He healed, but the disciples' teacher is now revealed as the Lord of all. His great commission would have little meaning if Jesus were not the Son of God. Regarding all nations, the purpose of God is to be reconciled with humanity, which includes every nationality and race. Jesus directed the 11 to replicate their own kind by making disciples of all nations. Disciples are pupils, learners. They are to become devoted followers of Jesus and live out His teachings within the broader society. They are to baptize in the name of the Trinity. Their baptisms will mark the movement from death to life. Speaking of all that He commanded, the third part of the commission is to teach those who become disciples to do everything that Jesus commanded. Our actions should reflect our our beliefs. Statements of faith are important, but faith without appropriate behavior is empty. Always with us is one of the most comforting statements in Scripture. Jesus, as Lord of all, promises to be with us, the church, always, even until the end of the age. In Matthew 1:23, Jesus is named Emmanuel, or God with us. This ending reminds us of the person that Jesus was in his earthly life, the one who shared space with people, lived and was present with them, and showed us what God is like. Jesus wants you to finish what he began. He came to the disciples, taught them, and worked with them. He then died on the cross and rose from the dead. But before he ascended into heaven, he gave them and us the commission to convert the world. He will not ask you to do the impossible. You need to know that your efforts to honor Christ by obeying his call to make disciples of all nations is something that you can do. Do it where you are. Do it with those with whom you meet, with those with whom you work, with those with whom you attend school, etc. Be a witness for Jesus in your lives, and when necessary, talk about him. When you seek to accomplish God's will, he will always bless your efforts because you're seeking to obey him. Jesus' words at the Great Commission are thus not merely the fitting end of Matthew's story of Jesus, but the vision of the end of a broken world and the beginning of a new creation. Amen. Please rise as we sing our hymn of the day, "The Church is One Foundation." With the whole Christian church at all times and in all places, let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Please be seated for our offering. Merciful God, you open wide your hand and satisfy the need of every living thing. You have set this feast before us. Open our hands to receive it. Open our hearts to embrace it. Open our lives to live it. We pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Called together in the Spirit's embrace, let us pray for the mending of God's world. Holy Mystery, you call us to be your church. Keep calling your people to faithful reform. Give us vision and courage to share your new life with all the world. Lord, in your mercy. Joyful Creator, you made a wondrous universe and call us to be partners in its care. Inspire delight in the furry, scaly, watery, breezy, sandy stuff you love. Inspire us to bring about creation's healing. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, you love our enemies and bless all people. Make our hearts yearn to be joyful and share your generosity. Help leaders and citizens use political power in service of your peace. Lord, in your mercy. Compassionate One, you bring about the fullness of life. When sorrow wounds faith, send wise ones to comfort and encourage those who suffer. Heal your people in body, mind, and spirit. We especially pray for Kathy, Lexan, Lavera, Mary Catherine, Maxine, Ray, Gordy, Carolyn, Lavone, and Sam. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Trinity, you call us together to bless your world. Guide all who are preparing for baptism into the joy of new life in your name. Lord, in your mercy. Holy God, you bring life out of death at every turn. We give you thanks for all the saints and for dear ones whom we mourn, especially the Kozer family on the loss of Craig's father, Ralph, the Lehman family on the loss of Kathy's mother, Meg Hewn, the family of Jerome Evenson, and the families of Char Larson. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you see that we need, we entrust to your care through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray the prayer that our Lord and Savior taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine, grant you the gifts of faith and hope. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Our sending song is My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. A few announcements today. Larry informed me just a short while ago that there's hail in Baldwin and it's heading this way, so you might want to consider that in your plans for the day. There's going to be an open house at Dean and Sue's today for Ruby Schlattman, her 90th birthday, if that's something that you're interested in. There's going to be a grill out today following worship. Probably will be over in the fireside room for the National Youth Gathering in Houston. There's going to be a volunteer opportunity for about 6 people to serve as a cleanup crew for Tuesday's table on June 27th at St. Joe's. So you can contact either Vic or Nancy with that. And also the ministry at UW-Stout is having a work day on Saturday, July 22nd. I know that's a long ways out, but keep that in mind. And we also have on August 6th, we've got the Pack the Park ministry over at, I can't remember the name of the park. Wilson Park, yeah, thank you. That's on August 6th. So remember that there will not be worship here on that particular day. Anyone else that has announcement? I think you had some, didn't you?
I just wanted to say a few words about the bulletin announcement regarding the Malawi mission trip. I'll be going there from July 1st to the 18th. And I did ask if we could visit our companion parish, and I'm told we will. It wasn't on the itinerary when I received the itinerary, and I talked to Pastor John Sutherland about it, and he said, we will fix that. Remember, this is Malawi. So they have very loose scheduling, as Dick can attest to. There are no times, just dates. So I'm hoping to visit our companion and bring them some gifts. Some of the appropriate things that he mentioned would be monetary donations for the parish, soccer balls and volleyballs. One thing about that is we've taken soccer balls in the past and deflate them and then also have a hand pump to pump them up. But they distinguish between boys and girls, and the girls don't get to play with the soccer balls. So if we take volleyballs, then girls will be included as well. And then the last thing about the suitcases, we're taking gifts from the synod. I know they have some choir robes that we'll be taking. There are 9 of us going, so each of us will have a second bag with gifts. So we're asking for donations if you have old suitcases that you no longer use. They don't have to have wheels. It's just a little bit easier because each of us will be dragging stuff through about 3 or 4 airports, but it's not required. We can get a luggage cart. So that's kind of just a little bit more of an explanation for that. And I'll just end by saying something that you hear said in Malawi quite often is, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good.
Thanks, Lynn. I just want to expand a little bit on Tim and Kathy Lehman, Kathy's mother, Mae Kuhn. That memorial service is going to be held tomorrow at 11 a.m. at Olson Funeral Home, and the visitation will be this evening from 4 until 7, and an hour prior to the service as well. Go in peace. The Spirit sends us forth to serve. Thanks be to God. The peace of Christ be with you always. Please share a sign of Christ's peace with one another as you leave today.